good morning. How are you all doing?
Good, good. Y'all ready for today?
Yeah.
You ready to hit the lake? Are you ready to hear the word? Come on. Come on. If you got your Bibles, open up to John 8:31.
It says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are the descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Jesus here is talking to believers, people who place their faith in Jesus. And the King James Version says, if we continue in my word, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples. So the title of this message today is to be continued. It doesn't matter how grim your week may look, God wants you to continue in his word. If you just get the worst news of your life, it's important for you to continue in his word. Doctor's report comes back positive for a disease or what have you. You still continue in his word. Your job may be laying off 100 people, and your division may be closed. You still continue in his word. Bills are stacked up to the ceiling. You still continue in his word. Under no circumstances do you ever back down from that. You never back away from his word. That's why every morning that you wake up, you can just say to yourself, to be continued. Before you go to sleep at night, to be continued. We're continuing in his word day in and day out. Why? Because you're disciples of Jesus Christ. If you want to be his disciples, you will continue in his word. There are a lot of philosophers out there and sayings and great quotes that people may use on their social media page. But whatever you're going to do, continue in God's word. Let's not trade the truth of God's word for some other lie. God wants us to be his disciples. Satan wants you to be his disciples too. Daily spending time in his word is important because Jesus wants the truth of the word to make you free. Whatever it is you're going through, he wants you to be 100% free because that's what he died for. Not just for fellowship with you, for you to be free from everything that you got going on in your life. And if the Son has set you free, he says what? You are free indeed. Doesn't matter what other people are saying about you. Doesn't matter if people are trying to hold you to your past. I say, you are. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. Stop going off of their narrative. Our society has a problem with men being men, don't it? You know, Satan has a bigger problem with men being the men that God has called them to. If he can keep you carnally minded, he will. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So if he can keep you carnally minded, he can keep you on his level. He can keep you from growing up in the things of God. If he can get you to bow down to him, he will. He will use every trick there is in order for you to do it, to get your mind away from the very thing that can keep you under his feet. That's why he don't want you to be a disciple. You'd be whooping him all day long. Now, I understand some people don't like when I talk about certain things, and I get that, but I said, please, I'm just trying to help you in something. Don't take it personal. The Jezebel influence is what emasculates men. People talk about the spirit. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about Jezebel's spirit. But that influence, those characteristics is what emasculates men. People don't want you to be men anymore. They don't want you standing up for truth. How dare you stand for something you believe in? How dare you stand up for God? We don't want to hear that stuff at our commencement. We don't want to hear that stuff in our schools. We don't want to hear that stuff in our city. How dare you speak that? Part of being a man is being being able to protect your loved ones. Being able to protect your family. Standing up for truth. If they don't want you to do that, tell them go somewhere. They don't want you fully submitted to God. Because after all, if you're fully submitted to God, then you can't resist the devil. If you're not fully submitted to God, you can't resist the devil, and he will not flee from you. God, today, I'm just going to give you 90% of who I am today. I want all that you have for me, but I'm only going to give you 90. Well, then there's still that 10% that is persuading you to do certain things, to being disobedient to God. How can we require everything from God? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and then 25%, we're going to give it to God. 40%, 50%. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You don't have to be ashamed to give 100% to God in your life. You don't ever have to be ashamed of that. In 2 Timothy 3:16, see, the thing is, God doesn't want part-time lovers. There used to be a song in the 80s that we used to listen to. Some of y'all grinning, you know who it is. 80s has some of the best music. Stevie Wonder, part-time lover. God doesn't want part-time lovers. He needs all of you. He needs all of you. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Every day, to be continued. God is the greatest example that we have, for God so loved, he sowed, S-O-W-E-D, love. Our works in the body of Christ should be good works. Works by the enemy is always plotting against God's children, always scheming in order to get his own way. It's selfish on how the enemy will operate through others just to get what he wants. Remember, we had talked about last week, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lost that dominion, that power, because the serpent tricked them, deceived them, twisted the word, twisted what God had said. He seduced them. And in order to control people, you have to control the information. Thieves will steal your information. It will steal the word that is sown in your heart. Jesus said, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. For it is the thief who does what? Steal, kill, destroy. See, that word seduce means to persuade to disobedience or disloyalty. Seduce. The enemy seduced them to disobedience. The enemy wants to persuade you to disobey God's word, persuade you to be disloyal to your friends and your family leaders. He tries to persuade you not to accept what you have received from spending time in God's word and what he has spoken to you. He wants to seduce you. That seduction is strong. He's envious of your relationship with him. Because Jesus gave you authority and a power and dominion over all the earth, but Jesus never gave us dominion over each other. So he seduces us into doing that sort of thing right there. To disobey what God has given us. We have all of this that he has given us authority over. Over the birds of the air, over the fish in the sea, over the cattle, over every creeping thing that crawls on the face of this earth. But that one thing, kind of like in that tree, don't do it. And yet, we get persuaded by the enemy to do it. Recently, I just had some quotes pop up on my social media page. It was crazy because I had never seen this, because it was a book that was little excerpts that was taken out, and it was, the first one was Law 3. It's like, what is this? And I start reading it. It says, conceal your intentions. Keep people off balance and in the dark by never revealing the purpose behind your actions. If they have no clue what you are up to, they cannot prepare a defense. Guide them far enough down the wrong path, envelop them in enough smoke, and by the time they realize your intentions, it will be too late. Okay, well, what in the world? Law 5 comes up. Scroll down a little more. Okay, let's pass that. And Law 5 says, so much depends on reputation. Guard it with your life. Reputation is a cornerstone of power. Through reputation alone, you can intimidate and win. Once it slips, however, you are vulnerable and will be attacked on all sides. Make your reputation unassailable. Always be alert to potential attacks and thwart them before they happen. Meanwhile, learn to destroy your enemy by opening holes in their own reputations. Then stand aside and let the public opinion hang them. And I've seen another one. Pose as a friend, work as a spy. Knowing about your rivals is critical. Use spies to gather valuable information that will keep you a step ahead. Better still, play the spy yourself. In polite social encounters, learn to probe. Ask indirect questions to get people to reveal their weaknesses and intentions. There is no occasion that is not an opportunity for artful spying. Do some of y'all know what I'm talking about? Have you ever heard of the 48 Laws of Power? By a man by the name of Robert Greene. You've heard of it? And this man also written a book that was called The Art of Seduction. The skill to persuade others to be disobedient and disloyal. You wonder why there ain't no power operating in the church in the body of Christ. It's because sometimes you got some leaders that are operating by this mess. The laws of power. They've abandoned, they traded the truth of God's word for a lie, and they choose to operate in this, and they're thinking they're operating in power, and it's not true power at all. It's witchcraft. It's manipulation. Take that book and put it in your fire pit and burn it and watch all them demons come out. True power is in the gospel. The Apostle Paul said, for I am not ashamed in Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to healing, to safety, to protection, to forgiveness of sins. For everyone who believes, true power is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not in the laws of power. How come we're not seeing any power in the body of Christ? Get out of that mess. Throw it away. But Pastor Tim, this is how I got my life started. I did all of this. This is how I got my promotions. This is how I got my advances. This is how I got my home. This is how I got my car. This is how I got all my money. So what? I'll give you the benefit of the doubt. If you didn't know, now you know. It's witchcraft. It's manipulation. And manipulation is just a lower form of witchcraft. True power is in the gospel. It's what Jesus has done for you. Why would you ever want to trade that off? And guess what? You get all the riches. You get all the, you know you can't take it with you. You might as well have fun with it. Come on. Amen or oh me. Paul was unashamed. The Passion Translation says this, I refuse to be ashamed of the wonderful message of God's liberating power unleashed in us through Christ, for I am thrilled to preach that everyone who believes is saved. The Jew first, and then people everywhere. True power is in the gospel of Jesus. Disciples of Jesus are not cowards. When you have to operate in that, you're a coward. Paul knew that the power of God was preaching the gospel, and he was unapologetic about it. He wasn't ashamed. The children of God, we don't do things anonymously. I don't know if people truly know who they are, but somewhere down the line, they allow the enemy to trick them. You know, this past week, I got a packet in the mail here at the church. It's a white packet. I just grab the mail and give it to my wife, and she opens it. She does all that and stuff like that. I don't want to have to mess with all that stuff. It's just so much of a burden. No, it isn't. But I open up this packet and I pull out these papers, and it's got just a bunch of theological stuff on there, like 7 pages. I mean, I'm talking about they put the margins to narrow from the top to the bottom. So I just went through them. Look on the last page, because I want to see if somebody's bold enough to put their signature on it. And sure enough, there wasn't. I don't know why people are trying to go around acting like they're Martin Luther, but they're not. They're not. And guess what? How would you know it was Martin Luther who put the 95 Theses on there? He signed it. The body of Christ don't make cowards. If you're going to send me something, please put your name on it. And all I did was, you ain't going to rent no space in my mind. All that time for nothing. We do it boldly. How are people ever going, when we stand up for truth, when we stand up for righteousness, when we stand up for the name of Jesus, how is anyone ever going to know that it was you if you were anonymous and now there ain't no persecution coming your way? There ain't nobody saying anything about you. You're doing it behind the scenes. Step on out. Let somebody see your face. I don't understand superheroes wear masks, but they still see the body. Sign your name to it. That'll be a good thing. And then we can share it. But God doesn't make cowards. He makes true men and women of God. And when you're standing for faith, when you're standing for Him, it'll do something to you. To me, that seems like they were ashamed. Paul said he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If people believe the same way, then we would sign their name. The effectual change that the gospel makes in people's lives is everlasting. It is very everlasting. So if you study the word, you will begin to see what God sees in you. When you spend time with Him, you will begin to see what He sees in you. A lot of people can't see what He sees. Sometimes I pray for God, pray for the Lord to open up my eyes to help me to see what He sees. You may see something in somebody else that I don't see. God sees it. He sees the gem in there. Yeah, you might see a coal, but He sees a diamond. You have to refuse to be ashamed. And that's a choice you make every single day. And it's easier and easier every day when you live that life of to be continued. I'm a continue in His word. Day in, day out. You know, if people start making fun of you, just get bolder with it. Don't be afraid to take your Bibles to school. Don't be afraid to wear that t-shirt. Don't be afraid to pray in public. Don't be afraid to pray over your food in public. And ask your neighbor if you need me to pray for you. Y'all need me to pray for your food? Hold on. We're going to pray. Everybody bow your head. You stand up there and you pray for everybody's food in the restaurant. Unapologetic. You may lead a couple of people to the Lord. See, they don't call it the straight and narrow for nothing. And see, when you have a lot of friends that is walking with you everywhere you go and all that stuff, the more you're walking with Jesus, the more straight and narrow you're walking, pretty soon those friends begin to lop off. And then it's just you and Jesus. You don't have to worry about it. I said, those friends, the more bolder you get in your faith, the more your friends are going to start being lopped off in your life. People that you know you didn't need. They were just around you. Just to be around you. Don't dim that light. Let the word of God transform you. What's the point of reading it, listening to it, doing Bible studies every night if you're not going to let his word transform you? See, we can read other books and start applying those principles that we read. We'll highlight stuff and we'll start applying those principles to our life. But do we do that with the word, though? When was the last time you done that with the word? You apply some of his principles to your life. You just take one scripture and I'm talking about you mastered it. Not because you memorized. I'm not talking about memorized it. You lived it. That's a whole nother level. They read the Bible and they forget what they just read. They forget who God truly is. They forget about the character and the nature of God. In Romans 12, it talks about us presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's Romans 10. Come on, Andy. You thought you were on the ball, huh? Threw your curveball. It says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. That's 100% of you. He didn't say present your upper torso. Lord, I can present up into my neck and in my head. That's just out there. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Romans 10, 11 says this, for the scriptures says, this is the Amplified version, no man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on and trusts in him will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. When you give 100% of you, God will never disappoint. That's a promise. He'll never disappoint you. He didn't give you that spirit of fear. Remember that. So sometimes we might be afraid of doing those things. I wouldn't say I was afraid or fearful, but I didn't have much of understanding when it came to giving. My wife was already ready to go. I had to get on board. I had to catch up. And the way I caught up is by reading the word and trusting in him. He says he'll never disappoint. Now we sell more in a week than what I used to make in a week. God never disappoints. He never, ever disappoints. Don't allow that fear to keep you from stepping in all the way. If you choose to be bold about your faith, some people will hate you. They will hate you. They, no doubt about it, they will hate you. But I guarantee if anyone was to ever have that opportunity again, they wouldn't change it for the world. Being bold for Christ is one of the greatest things that you can ever do. It's rewarding. Even if no one ever says, man, that was a great job in what you did. I said, the Holy Spirit is saying that. When you take a stand for Christ, he'll take a stand for you. I'm reminded of Stephen before he got stoned. He was the first martyr in the New Testament. And he called them out. He called those religious leaders out. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised. You always resist the Holy Spirit. And as they were taking him outside and stoning him, he goes, look, I see the Son of Man standing. See, when you take a stand for God, he will stand for you. Colossians 2 says this, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down in him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. The same faith that it took for you to believe in Jesus is the same faith you use to continue to live for him. It doesn't change. It doesn't get worn out. We might put it in the back of the closet and use it every now and then. But the same faith that God has given us is the same faith that we use every single day. It's the same faith for you to be healed. It's the same faith for you to trust and believe in God. It's for miracles or what have you. It's the same faith. Nothing's changed. The problem may look greater because of what we see and what society says, but it's the same faith. That little mustard seed faith that you may have. If you were able to say, Jesus, I believe in you, that's enough to move that mountain. But some people don't believe it because you don't understand how great that mountain is. Any mountain in your life, it could be moved with that mustard seed faith. So it's time to start seeing yourself the way that God sees you. Hallelujah. To be continued. If you are his disciples, you will continue in his word. Not the Inquirer. Not the soap opera digest. Is that even something? It is? I only see the counters there. What else they got? Not the Time magazines. If you continue in his word, in his word, in his word, that is what's going to help set you free, make you free. And then you can help others become free. The early church had great success because they understood that. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They did these things on a daily. I said, Christians today, we're good. We're satisfied if we can get two days in out of the week. Daily. Give it somebody. Do those Bible studies. You don't need my permission to do a Bible study. Do a Bible study if you want to. If that's on your heart, do a Bible study. Well, is it done out of Westview Church? It's done by the grace of Jesus Christ. It's because it's the kingdom of God. There's a bigger picture than Westview Church. It's about the kingdom of God. Lord puts it on your heart to do a Bible study, do that Bible study. And be unapologetic about it. The Lord requires you to lay hands on people or what have you, or speak life into somebody that's there at that Bible study, you do it. You don't need my permission. That ain't my power. It's his power, his authority that he's given to every born again believer. You don't have to wait until Sunday to do it. Let's get out of that religious mess. Some of my greatest miracles didn't happen in here. Happened on the phone. Happened at work. Happened when I was on the street at the gas station. It didn't happen here on Sunday mornings. Now, if you want to come and wait for Sunday, we can do that too. I'm okay with that, but you don't have to wait. God is not downloading that 10% on Monday, 20% on Tuesday, 40% on Wednesday, and then by the time you get to Sunday, we're at 100, baby. Every day, that's available to you. Don't back down. Just continue. If you continue in his word, then you are his disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Y'all got any questions? We got any testimonies? Anybody sick? See, if we don't have a church, nobody's sick, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. That might be a bad thing for hospitals, but that's a good thing for the body of Christ. They need sick. But this is a place where you can come and get healed if you're brokenhearted, if you're going through some stuff. But it's not a place where you can stay that way. You did okay. Y'all sang her favorite song, her mom's favorite song in worship. I was waiting for her to break down. She doesn't like me playing that song, honestly. She'll turn it off. But she loved her mama. If you continue in his word, then you are his disciples. And you will know the revelation knowledge of that truth will set you free. And can't nothing on the face of this planet ever stop that revelation knowledge from operating in your life. Nothing. Amen. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.